on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
The man who whacked another year on the clock yesterday. He can't wind it back is Dave Carlton. Morning, Disco. Happy birthday for yesterday, mate.
Thank you, Sean. All I'm saying is I'm 35 plus GST.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll check your teeth and have a real look.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome to Going Greyhounds. And our first show of the spring on the back of some really great racing at Wentworth Park with the heats of the Group 2 Bob Payne for the Sprinters and the Group 3 Chairman's Cup for the Stayers. Dean Swain trained a winner and a second placing. He'll be a guest this morning, along with Northern Rivers race caller Bob Lane, the voice of Casino and Lismore, who this Friday is bringing up a half century behind the binoculars and microphone. We'll also go to Victoria and Sandown's Mick Floyd to get the latest on next Sunday evening's $150,000 Speedstar Series, and to my Catching Pen co-host James Vandermaat for the complete wrap of yesterday's Group 3 Healesville Cup heats. Yes, Cozzy, we're going to go back, Jack, and do it again, which is a song, and sad news overnight for a music fan like myself. At the passing of one of my musical heroes, Walter Becker, co-founder of the group Steely Dan.
Real in the years, Ricky, don't lose that number. Fantastic.
Yeah, Deacon Blues is what I'm going to be singing. Vale, Walter. Okay, in important news for New South Wales, three commissioners have been appointed to the new Greyhound Welfare and Integrity Commission. Alan Brown is the chief commissioner. Alan is a lawyer, a former chairman of Racing New South Wales and the Sydney Turf Club, a good man, and it will be great to have Alan as the Chief Commissioner. The other commissioners are Claire Petra, the former New South Wales Energy and Water Ombudsman, and John Kennery, who you would remember was appointed by former New South Wales Premier Mike Baird to coordinate the shutdown of greyhound racing in New South Wales. And the first task for the three commissioners will be to recruit a CEO and a chief steward. All right, first up this morning, we're heading to Victoria, where James Vandermaat has a busy day ahead, calling duties beckoning at Traralgon Greyhounds. James is on track at Healesville for eight heats of the Group 3 Cup yesterday, where five of the winners broke 19 seconds. James, good morning to you.
Yes, a very good morning to you, Disco, and a very big happy birthday I'm hearing. Was it 35 GST?
Yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. As I said yesterday, you can't have too many birthdays, James, because it'll kill you, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're not wrong there. But no, it was a fantastic day of racing yesterday, of course. Eight heats of the Healesville Cup, and you touched on it perfectly, Dave. It's pretty rare to see a greyhound break 19 seconds. We sort of, you know it as the magical 19-second barrier, but we had five of them through the eight heats. It was just a marvellous day of racing.
Yeah, Peter Gallo for Gary Selkrig set the time standard in Heat 4 with 18.88 at only his sixth race start, James.
Mm. Yeah, very, very promising youngster. There were big raps on him prior to starting racing, but there was always the concern he wasn't the greatest of beginners. But the more racing he's having, you can clearly see he's just getting better and better, and he's starting to begin. And he actually came out 6.53 to the first mark, which was by far his PB, but he did that from box eight. He had the nice clear run down the outside. Unfortunately for the Peter Gallo fans, he's drawn box three in the final, and so far in his career, when he's drawn sort of the squeeze or toward the inside, he's just been held up getting to the outside. But look, he set the time standard. I think Tab Six Odds have brought him out at $14. So that just shows you, for the fastest qualifier, that it's just an awesome field. It really is.
Well, let's go through the respective heats, James, with national sprint place getter Aston DB taking out the opening one for Shona Thompson in 18.95.
I thought he was really impressive, Aston DB. He worked hard from box seven getting over, and he had a little bit of bump with those on his inside. But once he got clear, you could just see the class kick in. He raced away. He won it by almost 5 lengths. He went 6.55 early. He got home to an 18.95, which is a very quick run up the straight. And he just looked to have the class factor, and he really powered through the line. The Thompson Kennel, they quite often use Hills sort of a trial track between races. And with greyhounds having their first run there, they normally struggle. But in his case, I think he's been there that many times trialling that he was just so good and so professional, knowing exactly where he was going, and he was just far too good.
Heat number two, James, went to Kuda Mayhem for Jason Sharp in 19.10.
Yes, Kuta Mayhem won the straight track championship about a fortnight ago. That gave him an automatic entry into the heats of the Hillsville Cup, and he took it with both balls, I guess. He went 19-10 jumping from box six, one of the slower heats, but he did it well. He controlled the race. He was never in doubt. And you get the feeling he's the type of greyhound, and we probably saw it in the straight track championship final. When the pressure goes on, he just finds a way to dig deep and go faster. And, of course, for a young dog, it's his second group final contesting the Bendigo Cup prior to this. And look, he's only going to improve. He's a greyhound that hasn't seen much of Hillsville. I think the more he goes up there, the faster he's going to get. But look, he's probably going to have to find that two or three lengths to be competitive next week.
The Green Rug also produced the winner of Heat 3 with Shepparton Cup winner Zinzan Brook clocking 18-90 for Brooke Ennis.
I would have to say probably the most impressive of the heats. And I say that just because his last campaign before a freshen up, he was contesting 500-metre races. He wasn't really accelerating at the start as impressively as what he probably was 6 or 8 months ago. I mean, this time last year almost, he won a heat of the, in December last year, he won a heat of the Ballarat Cup. And his sections were identical to Fernando Bale in the years prior. And I just thought he was probably going to develop into a better dog as to what he did. But yet he still won a Shepparton Cup, but he probably just lost that little bit of zip. I feel he got that back on Sunday. 6:49 early, that's as fast as they go. He went 18-90, and he just looked really controlled. It was a really dominant display. Drawing box number two in the final, I think he looks very, very hard to beat next week.
Well, we mentioned the fastest qualifier at 18-88, Peter Gallo, taking out heat number four. Heat five, James, was taken out by the favourite Burn Like Fire for Ashley Terry in 18-94.
Yeah, Ashley's a fantastic trainer, of course. She won the Sapphire Crown with Maya Mahi Mahi. That greyhound was unplaced in the Hillsville Cup heats. But Burn Like Fire, I think this greyhound will definitely win a group race at some point in her career. She went 6:44 early, which is just airborne to the first mark, 18.94. And she was another that just wasn't pushed in the heat. And I feel next week in the final, when that pressure goes on, that's probably going to be the question mark if she really relishes those conditions with all the stars around her. But look, I think if it's not a Hillsville Cup win for Burn Like Fire, she will be winning a country cup, I feel, in the next 12 months.
And Ozmak for Anthony Azzopardi also broke 19, clocking 18-98 in heat six. Great run, James, after being moderately away.
He was fantastic, I thought, and Ozmak. And yet he still went a 6:49 early, and I think that was probably the deception of this heat. There was so much speed in the early part that he actually looked slow, but in comparison, his first split was fairly good. But I spoke to Anthony Azzopardi on Sky Racing, an interview prior to the race. He had Lucky Chap and Ozmak, the two runners, engaged. He said he was so surprised by how well Ozmak trialled there that he thought he was the better of the two, and Ozmak was paying $4 at the end. Lucky Chap was $1.35. And my comment was quite simply, Dave, well, a Group 1 winning Melbourne Cup greyhound who's won a Warrigal Cup as well, and you're surprised with his trial time. So he was obviously really confident going into the race, really good, and he just savaged the line late. I thought it was a really impressive effort.
And Anthony then got the running double when Lucky Chap scored in Heat 7, the time 19.29.
Yeah, he went 19.29, which was the slowest of the heats, but look, the effort was there. He got back to last mid-race, and then he dropped all on the rail. He really did work home well, but obviously spotting, I think, the fastest qualifier, 6 or 7 lengths, it is going to be hard for him, but you'd expect he will improve. Second look at the track, that's always a big advantage. But look, second runner through, Anthony Azzopardi had 2 from 2. And look, he is going to need to improve, but he's a very, very promising greyhound.
And James, Lynn Smith produced the winner in the 8th and final heat. It was victory to Our Real Deal in 1907.
I would probably say this greyhound had the best preparation going into the Hillsville Cup heats. It's just been mixing it between 300 metres and 350 up the straight for probably, I'd say close to 2 months. And therefore, you could just see he knew his way around. He didn't panic when the pressure came on early, held his spot down the middle, and then with about 100 metres to go, really assumed control and shot clear. Went 6:66 early. He can go faster than that early. Went 19.07 overall. I think he's a greyhound that can easily break 19 seconds next week, and he's some 30-1 as well. So I think he's definitely valued in what is just a fantastic Hillsville Cup final.
Well, the box draw for next Sunday afternoon's decider, Aston Debrian 1, Zinzan Brook 2, Peter Gallo 3, Lucky Chap 4, Our Real Deal 5, Kuta Mayhem 6, Burn Like Fire 7, Ando's Mac in 8, The Reserves, My Arizona Room, and Judicial Man. You've got an early tip, James?
Yes, I do indeed. I thought Zinzan Brook looked beautifully drawn. The red Aston DB is probably going to be that half a length slow, and Zinzan Brook can burn over to the rail. In box three, Peter Gallo, he'll step up the track and he's not super fast early. Lucky Chap's not overly fast, and then Our Real Deal will stay down the middle. So there's going to be plenty of room for Zinzan Brook to come through, and therefore I thought just the way he raced so well fresh in the heat, if he can reproduce that from the good draw, look, I think he clearly looks the one to beat. But there's been a great honour roll, Zipping Arnold, All Cal to Excel, and of course in 2014, Size Does Matter won the late edition, whilst earlier in the year it was Frosty JJ. So really looking forward to Sunday to crown the 2017 winner.
Well, James, thank you for your time. Good calling at Traralgon, and good calling for the Healesville Cup next Sunday before you head over to Sandown to join me for the Speed Star. And I look forward to you being in the studio with me for the Catching Pen tomorrow night, 6:30 on Sky Racing 2.
Beautiful, Dave. No problems at all, mate. Make sure once all the work's finished, you enjoy the afternoon with a cold one up there in Sydney.
Certainly will. Thank you, James. James Vandermart there. And he's a young gun, and he's a great addition to the Catching Pen, that is for sure. Well, it's time now on Going Greyhounds to head to the kennels of Sydney trainer Dean Swain, whose chaser Watch the Wasp won a heat of the Bob Payne at Wente on Saturday night before kennel mate Techno finished second to Little Nangar in the final heat. Morning, Dean. Watch the Wasp jump really nicely from box eight, crossing well at the first turn before eventually getting the better of Chevy King in the closing stages. Like his last win at headquarters, he was super strong through the line.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. Well, definitely he's a very strong dog, you know, that goes without saying. On Saturday night, he was fortunate to get a pretty good run from Chevy Prince. He came out pretty hard and crashed left, and I had quite a bit of room down the outside, you know, to get into a forward position. And when he was close, he's always going to be hard to beat, definitely, you know. But, I think by going into the final into the two box, it's not all that bad, considering that there's quite a bit of pace in the final anyway. And I'm hoping that they cut at each other going to the first turn, and hopefully he can, you know, punch up on the fence and get a run. And if he does, well, he'll be hard to hold out.
Yeah, Dean. Well, as you said, he's drawn box two in Saturday night's final between Uphill Jill in one, Mr. Twister in three. And as you say, that draw could see him in the box seat going down the back, and that pair certainly should give him something to chase.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's as you know, in big finals, you obviously need a bit of luck anyway. Techno, he's got the six box, but he's a mad fencer. He wants the rails, and even though he's drawn there, he has got the speed, you know, to hunt up as well, you know. So, look, it's going to be, you know, a mad chase to the first turn, and not as hoped that one of them are, you know, close and sitting there somewhere to get a run, and they both, you know, certainly warrant their place in the final, that's for sure.
Well, he's well bred. He's the son of Shaky Jakey in Midnight News. His time of 30.03 was only 1/100th of a second off Mr. Twister's best heat time. I know you've got a big opinion of Watch the Wasp, Dean.
Yeah, definitely. Look, he's from a good litter. I mean, Jason Thompson's got Midnight Elsa. She's a really up-and-coming stayer, and there's a few other handy ones in the litter as well. Look, you know, most of Dave Pringle's brood, they're very strong and got a lot of ability, you know, and once given the right chances, they certainly take advantage of it. But, look, he's the type of dog. He's a very relaxed, laid-back dog. You know, I really don't do a great deal with him, and he's the type of dog that really, you know, puts in on race night, and things go his way. He certainly, you know, he's definitely a group dog of the future, let alone, you know, this Saturday night. Yeah.
He's owned by a bloke named Robert Jones who races thoroughbreds, but I believe it's the first chaser he's owned.
Yeah, it's a funny story how it happened. He goes to a pub pretty close with a good close mate of mine, and my mate tipped him Miss Foxy Lee one night, and he backed her, and then he kept backing her, and then he came over one night, my mate, and said, "This bloke, he keeps backing your bitch, and he's having good money on her." And I said, "Give me his number." And so I rang him and said, "Look, if you're gonna, you know, back one of my dogs, you're better off ringing me, not me drunk mate, you know." And I said, "So anyway," and so we had a good chat, and he told me he owns 10 or 12 racehorses, and he's a fairly well-off fella, and he's never had anything to do with dogs. And I said to him, "It'd be good if you were to buy a dog," and so we purchased, you know, this dog off Dave, and for good money, you know, obviously, and he's having a ball. He can't believe how much fun it is, and can't believe how cheap it is, you know, in the sense of, you know, how much they pay for their horses and weekly and everything. And when I told him that we'll just go halves and I'll cover all the costs, he thought, you know, he was robbing me. So, and anyway, the dog's turned out like he is, and you know he's got a big future, and you know he rings me every week, and he's absolutely having a ball with it, and it's great to have a new owner. It's a horse bloke, you know, predominantly, and to get into the dogs and really enjoying it. So it's fantastic.
Good stuff, Dean. Look, let's talk about your other Bob Payne finalist, Techno. In the heats, he jumped nicely from box two before settling second. Look, the chance of catching the little Nangar before going down by just three quarters of a length.
Yeah, well, look, he had a slight bout of kennel cough going back about three or four weeks ago, and he missed a couple of weeks' work. And yeah, his first run back last week, and it was a good run. And he's a very, very underrated dog, this one. Like, he's won six races at Wennie, and, you know, he's Lorraine Atchison. Lorraine owns him, and, you know, he's really well-bred. He's a Barsha Bauer Cristal. And like I said, very underrated dog and loves Wennie, you know. And when he's drawn close to the fence, you know, he's always a big show. And I knew little Nangard lead off the one, and I knew he'd get a good run. And like I was speaking to you before, that I just couldn't resist the $26, you know, fixed odds. And I had a go on him, and he had him going for a real, real good amount, actually. And I thought I was going to win down the back. But being just maybe the one run short, you know, he just tired a little bit on the line, even though it was only half a lap. But, you know, he'd be much better for it this week. And once again, severely underrated going into the final price-wise. And he doesn't know what price he is. And he's a really good young dog with a, you know, really good future. And, you know, I think that, you know, I know he's a setback having the six, but, you know, if he's given the right chances, he can take advantage of it as well. So, you know, it'd be great to win a big race for Lorraine, because she's been a really good supporter of me. And, you know, I've had some really good dogs with her, namely Miss Foxy Lee. And quite a few others. And so, you know, she's a wonderful lady and a breeder for over 40 years. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing what she's done, you know, with the Brew Bitches of the Year and the dogs that she's trained and the whole lot. So, yeah, it'd be special if I could win it for Lorraine as well. So both dogs come from total different, you know, directions, really.
Yeah, right. Well, there'll be a big cheer squad with Lorraine and Nolene Holloway and the entire family for sure, Dean.
Oh, yeah, well, geez, they love it. They ride them home, much like me, as you know, but, you know, they're very passionate, you know, people, and, you know, once again, like me as well, and, you know, it's no matter what race it is, wherever it is, you know, or what track or maiden or whatever, they're just, you know, they ride them home and they love it, and they always have, you know. It's fantastic to train for Lorraine, it really is.
Yeah, passion's something I'd love to bottle, I tell you. With Techno, he's drawn six for the final, Dean, and I know he'll want a rail, but I remember in late July, he did finish second to Mr. Twister from the seven. That was in a free-for-all at Wennie.
Yeah, look, he can handle the outside. You know, he won't crash across. He's just more comfortable on the fence, you know, that's all. And, like, he's got the speed to hunt up out wide, which he has done numerous times. He's actually got a good box eight record, if you have a look at it as well. But, he's like I said, he's got the speed to offset it. You know, but I'm just concerned with him in the final with Chevy Prince in the seven after watching what he done last week, you know, and I think that he might give him a bit of trouble early. I'm hoping not. I hope I jump in front of him, you know, but so I know that he wants to, you know, he's in the actually eight Chevy Prince, but, you know, he's certainly going to want to get to the fence, you know, but look, with him and little Nengar and my dog and even Fly McHale and the one and the three, both, you know, the favourites. The speed in the final is unbelievable, really, you know. And I'm hoping that it's Watch the Wasp that gets the run through, you know, either him or, you know, Beckham Street. There's another strong type. If he gets a run through, that he's certainly going to be hard to hold out as well. So it's a super final, really, really is.
No, we'll get some good times. No heat winner broke 30, but that certainly will change on Saturday night. I don't know if you've won this race before, Dean. I know Ruta Khan was runner-up a few years back.
Yeah, she was runner-up in it. I've been in a few times, you know. I haven't won it, you know. I'd like to, you know, but obviously you like to win any group race. But, yeah, I've been in a few times. And between me and Alan, we've got half the field. So, you know, it's a good effort by both of us, I suppose. But, you know, it'd be a great race to win. You know, it really would. And so it's worth a lot of money. It's good to win the big races as a, you know, full-time trainer. You know, I win quite a few races, obviously, but the big ones are the ones that count a lot, that keep you going, you know, and it'd be good to certainly win it, that's for sure.
Well, Dean, thanks for joining us on Going Greyhounds. All the best with Watch the Wasp and Techno, and all the best with your NRL team, the Parramatta Eels in the playoffs, mate.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? I've waited a long time, since 86, obviously, so it's just good that they're in the semis, to hear the truth, and I'm certainly, I won't be going to, obviously, Melbourne this week, but if they get beat, I'll be going next week, that's for sure. It'd make a stellar year if the boys could win the grand final.
Absolutely.
forever hoping.
I think everyone in Sydney and New South Wales will be cheering him against the Storm, Dino. So all the best and go well at Wendy Saturday night.
Cheers, all right. Good talking to you then, Dave.
You too, Dean. Take care, mate. Talk soon. There is Dean Swain. The draw for Saturday night's 40,000 to the Winner Bob Paint final. Uphill Jill in 1, Watch Your Wasp 2, Mr. Twister 3, Beacon Street 4, Flying Michaela in 5, Techno 6, Little Nangar 7, and the Chevy in 8. The reserves, Big Butters and Smoking Road. Last Saturday night in the heats of the Chairman's Cup for the Stayers, Mr. Shire for Bob McComb won the first stanza, jumping straight behind the leader Talia's Way before heading her, passing the starting point the next time around. The time was 42:59. Queenslander Jalapeno was third. Catalora was in fourth place. In Heat 2, Australian Greyhound of the Year and Nationals distance champ Fanta Bale was too strong again, scoring by 8.25 lengths in 42:25. Coco Potion second, Outside Pass third, making it 2 in the decider for Tony Appap. And Billy's Bake ran fourth after copping a bump and hitting the running rail to give a Victorian conditioner Ian Garland appear as well in the final. He also trains Catalora. The draw for the Chairman's Cup, Billy's Bake in 1, Catalora 2, Outside Pass 3, Talia's Way 4, Fanta Bale 5, Coco Potion 6, Mr. Shire 7, Jalapeno 8. The reserves are Stars Alight and Shabini. Well, it is time now to head north, up to Beef Country and Casino in northern New South Wales, to legendary greyhound broadcaster Bob Lane, who is about to notch 50 years of race calling. He's on the line. Bob, congratulations. On that night in 1967, did you ever think you'd still be doing it half a century later?
Certainly not, Dave. It's not a thought that enters your mind at that stage.
Well, take us back to that night. Now, I've read that you'd never been to a greyhound meeting before that.
No, they were few and far between. They were racing on Saturday nights, the non-pav fixtures there, but we'd been tied up with them as kids at school. A fellow a few doors up from us had greyhounds and he had a disability. We kids used to help him with his dogs and it sort of started from there.
Do you remember the name of the dog that won the first race you called?
No way. That wasn't his name.
And what was the lighting like back then? I remember as a small kid, my granddad taking me to see Zoom Top at Harold Park. But what was the lighting like up at Casino in those days?
At the time, it was quite good.
Yep.
And I think it was the mid-70s. They were updated and they were a state-of-the-art at that time. And they're still good. They were cleaned up a little like a couple of years back, but they're still good.
Okay. Now, Bob, I've been lucky to hear some of the great race callers. Tappy, of course, the great PA, Paul Ambrosoli. When I was a kid, Bert Bryant, Ian Craig, Greg Miles, Johnny Russell. The list goes on. What's kept you in the game?
It's just an enjoyable game. Not only the gallop, the greyhounds, but the gallops too. You meet a lot of very down-to-earth people, particularly country people up this way. They're very communal-minded, and it's a day out.
What's the most memorable race you called?
There's been a few. That some of your record breakers here, they stick in your mind. And it goes back over the years. Like when I started, the Newsteads were very prominent. So were the Boyds and the Northfields. And that's just continued on. The Northfields still very prominent here. The Newsteads, to a lesser degree, but young Ryan's still winning a lot of races. And a little twist of time here of Terra Tora happened to take out the final Friday because she's trained by Ryan Newstead out of a Northfield bred bitch.
Okay. What about some of the different champs in different eras? I mean, you can't really compare them, but does any particular dog stand out to you, Bob?
Yeah, and not wanting to miss any, it's hard to put names on all, but way back you think of Silent Ringing at the Sydney, won a big championship race down there. Pretty short, well, he was a freak, really.
Mm.
And then you go back to Kingsbury Dye, more recently, as a race bitch, but also as a brood bitch, she's really stamped herself. And lately, well, you've got Weekend Bins. He holds the record here, the 484. He's done well in Victoria. Paul Licking.
Yep.
For Alan Lang. Alan had both those. Trippin' for and Margaret Dewire there and Darren Russell. He's been a pretty handy hat. I think he's finished now. And a dog called Swimming Goat that Alan Lang had couldn't run out of sight here past 400, but he went to New Zealand. I think he's won 20 or 30 races down there.
What about some of the characters? Maxie Presnell's just released a book called Good Losers Die Broke. It's packed with eccentric and colourful types. Can you recall a few larrikins?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of likeable larrikins there. There's one particular bloke, most of the locals have known. We knew him as a dimmer, and he was a real racecourse icon, really, at the way back in the years. In those days, we had many bookmakers, particularly when Owen Pedro used to field on the Southerns, and the Dimmer used to light the place up.
There's, I remember Mad Freddie used to write the prices up at Rose Hill and Randwick in Sydney. There's been a lot of characters. And speaking of characters, Bob, this Friday at Casino, when you bring up your 50 years, fellow race coolers Ken Cherry, John Bunny Brash, Mark Arundale and Rod Fuller are going to be in the broadcast box to help you celebrate the half century. So that'll be a great day.
It will be a great day. And I'm quite humbled by it, all the fuss, really, because it's just another day. There's a lot of people doing jobs for 50 years and all harder jobs that I've been doing, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, you've been in insurance, you've been in, you worked in a joinery, you worked for the railways as well, but we'll really be looking forward to tuning in this Friday, Bob, and congratulations on your 50 years as a race caller. Look forward to hearing you on Sky Sports Radio, watching you on Sky Racing this Friday. I hope it's a great day for you, and thank you for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
Many thanks. Greatly appreciated, Dave.
Bob Lane, he is an absolute legend. And, of course, along with calling Casino, he calls the Lismore Greyhounds and he also calls a picnic thoroughbred meeting or two. So, Bob Lane, 50 years this coming Friday, September the 8th, and on Sky you will see all of the action. Finally, today on Going Greyhounds, we're going to go to Melbourne again. This coming Sunday, it is the huge Speedstar Series at Sandown, $150,000 up for grabs in a new-look series. And from Sandown, Mick Floyd is on the line. Mick, you're catering for all distances this time around.
Morning, Disco. We certainly are. It's been a great success so far, the Speedstars. We've run in the past, and it's pretty exciting to be able to expand this ride out and include an entire race meeting of match racing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Just take us through, how many match races and how many races in all will there be?
Yep, so there'll be six races, each with four sets of two-dog match races, so 24 match races in total. First kicks off at 5:40, the last around about 9:30, and as you said, matches over all distances, and some of the biggest names in the sport will be lining up, so yeah. It's going to be good fun.
Yeah, no, basically to qualify, it's based on times recorded at Sandown from the 1st of June up until yesterday. Black Mumbo was the fastest qualifier a few weeks back. What's the latest there, Mick?
Yeah, so he's actually slipped down the list a little bit. He's fourth, effectively third with Aston DV making the Hillsville Cup. Aston DV was the fastest qualifier, 29.172, but Connections decided to head up the straight at Hillsville and has made the final there, so that elevates Zara's entity. Was actually beaten yesterday, had all sorts of trouble in her run, but is the fastest qualifier with 29.267, with the Kennelmate Eminent Reality just outside of that. But others in the top eight at this stage are Zara Zenity, Eminent Reality, Black Mumbo, Bewildering, who won the Speed Series back in May, Mapunga Blazer, who is, in my view, one of the fastest, most exciting greyhounds in the country, Wormburner, and Jimmy Newob qualified yesterday after a very impressive trial between races.
Rapid Fire Racing, the Speedstar Super Sunday, kicks off at 5 p.m. this coming Sunday at Sandown. I'll be on track with James Vandermaat, and Dave Stanley from the TAB's going to join us on the Catching Pen just to go through the various ways of wagering through tab.com.au. Mick, to you and Greg Miller and the entire team, congratulations on putting on what is going to be an absolutely magnificent evening, and I look forward to seeing you for the Speedstar next Sunday.